for Life.
Hello and welcome to Virtues for Life. I am Sister Denise, and this program is a conversation between Brahma Kumaris and Kumaris from all over the world about virtues. Virtues are the foundation of our life, and anyone who has a practice of meditation, cultivation of their character, their virtues, their values, their qualities and powers, these are the ones who can make a really good positive contribution to life. The laws of spirituality have told us that if we wish to be catalysts for change, then it is by working on ourselves that we can actually produce the change that we desire. As it has been famously said, be the change that you wish to see. Today's program is about the virtue of being carefree. So this is a very interesting, very light virtue, being carefree. Today in the studio, I have with me Brother Joachim Pils, who is also known as Brother Golo, and he's very interesting. He is a builder, he's a scientist, a technologist, and at the moment he is overseeing the creation of a 1 megawatt solar power plant, and he is really definitely an interesting example of the interface between spirituality and science. So welcome to Virtues for Life.
Thank you, Denise.
So today we're talking about carefree. So let's leave for a moment your hat of being a technological inventor and innovator, and let's look at the more personal side of your life. And tell me how you live the virtue of being carefree behind all of that technical activity that you do.
Well, being 100% carefree, I feel, is a challenge for me, because here and there I'm not carefree. I'm thinking sometimes on things which have to be done, or will it happen, will it not happen. But over the years I practice to be a bit more like a detached observer, and have more faith that the positive thing will happen by itself. So I have faith in the future. I'm trying to develop more faith in the future, and that helps me a lot to become a carefree person.
And you're a meditator since nearly 30 years, which means that you spend a lot of time communing with God. How does your relationship with God help to make you carefree?
Well, God, of course, is the ocean of carefreeness, because He has the power, He has the knowledge, He's the light and the might. So what should He care? So I feel through the union with God, and absorbing these qualities, we are coming closer, and we are following the proper path of the light, which helps us to sort of circumvent more and more, and better and smoother the problems which are there in the path of your life. And this feeling of being close to God, that helps you to become more carefree, because then faith comes. And with the faith, you sort of become carefree. And I mean, things may happen, bad things may happen, but I'm getting more and more carefree that it will become positive at the end of the day.
So the opposite of carefree is definitely careworn, worried,
yes.
Concerned, and yeah.
I have been a real specialist in being worried. Worried if the project will work, worries if the money will come, worries if the people will all work together. So there can be, I have been a real specialist, because I have the tendency of thinking a lot, playing with my mind, creating things. So of course the worries also come in, they creep in. The art is now...
Your face is the face of a person who has not a single line of worry. So how do you explain that?
You are flattering me.
I'm seeing.
I'm also a joyful person, you know. So I like to see the joy in everything. So that sort of deals to some extent with the worries. And the worries sometimes, they propel me to do things and
so
to be accurate.
So you change them from something negative into a source of getting action.
Well, I use sometimes my worries or my thoughts, this or that, to get things done and to be accurate in a way. And I'm not trying to be more worried if something will happen. I take, if a thought comes up, will it happen or not will happen, I will take it as a challenge to transform it into a positive result. Yeah, a bit like that.
So in your private life, in your personal relationship with your friends, how does your interest in being carefree, how does that play out?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm trying to be in the project. I have a leading position in the project, and almost about 150 people are working at the moment at the solar power station. And what I felt is, if I'm very relaxed and carefree, it has an influence to my friends. It has an influence to the team. And if they come with a problem, I say, don't worry, we'll find a solution. And when the mind is free of worries, it is more able to catch the solution for the problem. That's also my experience. If you're worried, it may create a tendency, it spirals you into more and more worries. And at the end of the day, you have no solution. But if you say yourself, I will get a solution, it will come in proper time, I put it aside for the moment, that worry, I felt that really after some time the inspiration comes, the solution comes and it's in front of you.
Now, when you're carefree, that's a positive thing. What about being careless?
Well, that's interesting. I come from Germany, which you grow up with being a careful person. Means fulfill your duties, be disciplined, and do the things which you promised to do, etc., etc. So it's a bit in my personality to be not careless. But of course, sometimes one gets lazy with the spiritual efforts, or one gets lazy with the project, or one gets lazy with things one has to do. So here one has to find the right balance between being careful, doing things in the proper way, but not become a control freak on the other side. Which also has negative effects then on the people.
I know one thing about you, and that is that every summer you just close up everything and you go off on holiday. Tell us about being carefree on holiday.
Well, you know, in summer it gets very hot in India, and life slows down a bit more. And I also have some work and some responsibility in Germany. So usually in summer for 2-3 months, I go to Germany and I help there. I do some tasks, some activities, and I hand over the operation and the duties here. I already handed them over to the brothers here, which are very capable, which are very helpful, which are also my friends, and I have full trust. I already have full trust, and I'm sure that they are doing it in a proper way, and they are doing it in a proper way, and they're taking care of all the installations that they're anyhow doing since many years. And if there's any problem nowadays, email is there, telephone is there, Skype is there. The world has become a small village, by the way. And I'm very carefree then when I'm going to Germany, actually. Yes, you're right.
That's very good. And now, I know that you go to a lot of United Nations conferences, particularly connected with the environment and climate change, and most of the people in the world are very worried about these things. Are you worried or carefree?
Well, I'm participating the last 10 years in all the climate negotiation conferences, right from Copenhagen onwards. And at Copenhagen, we could feel there was some hope. All the presidents, they came together, and there was a big momentum. But then Cancun, Durban, and recently we had been in Doha, we could feel that slowly, slowly this momentum has been lost, and the hope of the people has been lost, and the worries are coming up more and more.
Why is this?
Well, the situation in the world is dramatically deteriorating, you can say. In the beginning, there was the aim to avoid this 2-degree increase of average temperature on the planet. Now, it has become clear we cannot avoid it, because global action has not been taken place on that extent, to the extent which is necessary. And now we're talking of adjusting to the 2 degree climate temperature
rise.
What
does it mean if you have to adjust to 2 degrees average temperature in the world? What difference will it make?
There's
two degrees are not many.
Well, there's a lot of scenarios. Some people say we even will increase further than 2 degrees. We go to 3 or 4 degrees. We have to understand that the ecosphere of the planet is very delicate, and 2 degrees is a massive increase in average temperature. It's a big, big, big difference. For example, the ice can start melting. Water sea level can rise, and 70% of the people live in coastal areas. Most of the ports, the trade, it goes to the coastal areas.
So should we be worried or should we be carefree?
Well, many people who have no alternative, they are worried. People who see the big picture, who are embedded in a spiritual context, they're not worried. They see this as a challenge. They see this as a way to adapt your inner self and create inner strength and resilience to whatever comes in front of you, that you can deal with it and give hope and compassion to all others. Things will become dramatic in future. This much already at the UN conferences has become clear over the years. We will see climate refugees, as they call them. We will see mitigation. People will leave coastal areas. They will leave certain countries because there won't be any more food, or nature won't provide any more the livelihood. We will see that in the near future happening. And a lot of people are concerned about this. We people who are meditating, we're trying to emphasize, become strong on the inside, so you increase your inner resilience to deal with such situations.
How will we have to change our way of life in order to remain carefree in a very changing environment?
Well, of course, we should walk the talk, as it is said. A lot of people, they're talking, and unfortunately at the climate conference a lot of paper is produced and a lot of CO2 emissions are happening with all those 20, 30, 40,000 people flying to those events. So we have to walk the talk and we have to become an example. For example, a vegetarian lifestyle helps a lot. It is said that 30 to 40% of the greenhouse gas emissions are reduced if we are adopting a vegetarian lifestyle. We should reduce our personal consumption. We should buy those things which we need, but we should not overconsume. We should recycle. We should reuse. And actually, we have drafted a green policy for all our centers to reduce their ecological footprint. So it's very important that we educate people and share that knowledge so everybody can make its own contribution, because only if we all change also our personal lifestyle and really think, do I really need that? Do I really have to do like that? Can I not walk instead of using the car? Can I go by train instead of using the plane? And many, many alternatives. Can I save water? Can I switch off the light? There's so many ideas where we can do a difference. Mm-hmm. And when every individual changes, then the society changes. When the society changes, then there is a chance for the planet. So the change starts actually with me.
You would be the only one to change and nobody else changes, how do you keep up the energy of your personal commitment to personal change?
Well, we should not really see or look what the others are doing. We should ourselves become an example, and we should be content with it. And we should look that my personal example becomes so strong and powerful that it is embedded in spiritual light and might, so it radiates out and it influences other people.
So how do you accumulate that spiritual light and might?
Well, I meditate regularly, and meditation is the way for me to charge myself, to focus myself, and to really become an example of that change from the inside to the outside.
And in your meditation, are you carefree or are you very disciplined, or how do you do your meditation and still be light?
Well, it's everything from something. You're trying to be a bit disciplined, like I am a spiritual being living in this body. I'm having positive thoughts. I'm creating a positive vision on me and on others and on the world. So you have to be to some extent disciplined, but on some extent you also have to talk through your heart. You have to be compassionate, you have to love yourself. You have to accept yourself on a very, very deep inside level, and then you have to spread that vibration of love and compassion to all the others so that it really reaches and has an effect.
If you find that inside yourself there are some negative aspects that you are unable to change, can you be carefree about that?
Well, you should of course try to change negative habits on the inner side, but you should not be worried every day that, oh, I've not done like this or not done like that, because that again sucks you down into a spiral of negativity. We also learn to make a point and not go in negativity. So if I done something bad or some negative thought comes, I put a point, I not go into it, and I says next time I do it positive, I do it better.
So instead of feeling guilty, you just let it go?
Yes, because that's the first punishment, you feel guilty, and it doesn't really lead you anywhere else, you know, you just feel bad afterwards, you know.
Now, in the world today, people generally think that if you do something bad, you should feel guilty, but you're saying it's not useful.
Well, of course, your judgment should be there that you do the right thing. The right thing is things which make you on the long term happy and joyful and which are beneficial for yourself and for others. This can be your guidance. So we should really look that we do the right things, but once we made a mistake, we should not punish ourselves, because once it is done, once the pot cracked and is broken, you cannot fix it, you know. So you have to make the best out of the situation, make a point and say, next time I do it better.
Now, the world we live in is very much based on materialism, and people find that happiness is to have more things, to have beautiful things, to have plenty of things, to have comforts. But what you're saying is that we actually cannot continue going down that road. We have to put limitations on ourselves. So if somebody has been raised in that materialism, how can they actually shift to maybe a more responsible way of living and still feel good and carefree?
Well, it's a quite interesting question. The majority of our scientists who are researching our consumeristic pattern and future developments based on that, they fully agree that we cannot continue like that. That is 100% sure. We're using very rapidly all our resources on this planet, and we have one planet with a growing population, so we cannot endlessly grow. The problematic has been mentioned already by the Club of Rome in the 70s, and at those days many people say, okay, this is like some crazy guys which did some scientific paper, but now we can see practically the effects. So it is very important to understand that we are spiritual beings which are living in this physical realm to express ourselves, to be happy and to have joy. We should not define our happiness through possession of materialistic goods.
Yeah, well, people do.
Well, it's the time, and
you're saying we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, and people do. So well, how can they not do that when they do that?
Well, unfortunately, we live in a system which sort of honors the person who has most of the possessions, who acknowledge the person who has the most of the possession, and we are literally bombarded by advertisement every day with a picture of a perfect being which consumes all the time and has all the time
so
things.
So what's the alternative picture?
Well, we definitely need a paradigm shift with our ethics and with our values. We cannot continue with
but
this.
How do you create, and what is the new paradigm?
The new paradigm is I'm living with the things I need, and I don't need more to be happy.
Well, so
and
how will you be happy?
So we have to change our school system, our education system. We have to change the message which we are teaching to our kids. I was astonished because when I saw my nephews, they are like 6, 7 years old, and they say, Mommy, I want a mobile phone. And they were 8, they got it. And with 9, they got the first computer, with 10. So I was very much astonished how things are changing. And they're totally aware of the trends, of the fashion, and they say, I want it, and they get it. And they're defining themselves through that, which is not very healthy, which is unhealthy.
So what's the solution?
The solution is that we talk to those people and say, see.
So did you talk to your nephews?
Well, of course.
And what was the...
He came over here and I we teach him meditation, and we teach him spiritual truth, that you are a spiritual being. Anyhow, when we die, we have to leave everything behind.
That's right.
So why not to see...
So what is the legacy that we are leaving for the next generation?
Well, the next generation definitely will say this was the age of consumerism, this was the age of destruction of our environment, and this was the age of ruining literally the whole place and messing it up. They definitely will say that. That's 100% sure. So we need a paradigm shift in the way how we think.
So who leads that?
Well, it is always led by some people, by some individuals, by groups. Our educationalists, our politicians, our leaders, the people who are on TV, they all should understand how serious and critical situation actually is.
But generally speaking, you don't get the message that you're speaking about. You get a message that we will fix up the problems and we'll be able to carry on as
well. There's a big debate going on also at the UN conferences, if we as a humanity will be able to achieve what is called a smooth landing, means changing our lifestyle and do it in time, or we will have what's called a crash landing and we will learn the message in the hard way. This debate is still going on. It depends you're an optimist or a pessimist.
And what's your feeling?
Well, my feeling is humanity will definitely need some more strong wake-up calls to change its lifestyle. Yep. And we can see that's happening. We see the climate change right in front of our eyes. And we can see the negative effects on Mother Earth through the over-consumerism. And I think we will get it. We learn to some extent the hard way. But then we are all beings of intellect and understanding, and we're beings of reason. So we'll also understand, and then we'll change our lifestyle by understanding also.
Well, thank you very much for your insights and your wisdom. It's been very interesting to hear your experience and the way you live, carefree, worry-free, and still very responsible, disciplined. So it's very interesting to see how the different virtues complement each other to create that balanced way of life that we're looking to be leaders of, so that the world will get a smooth landing and not a crash landing.
We hope the best.
So thank you very much, Brother Golo Pils. This has been Virtues for Life. I am Sister Denise, and let us ponder for a moment on this virtue of being carefree. See your heart feeling light with the wings of that faith in yourself, that faith in having that spiritual companionship of the Supreme Being, of God. And now it's all about us making personal changes. And so feel that sense of being carefree and how it is naturally balanced with a sense of responsibility, a sense of personal discipline. So thank you very much to Golo Pils, and thank all of you for being in this participatory conversation today. This has been Virtues for Life, and I look forward to seeing you all very soon once again. Om Shanti. Thank you.